time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode number 19 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Today, I'm doing something a little bit different for Christmas. This is the special Barnes family Christmas episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. So today I have a very special co-host with me, and you guys already met my dad in episode number 2 of the podcast. Well, today my brother Bryce is my co-host, and we thought we'd share some of our family traditions and maybe some funny stories of Christmas's past, and wish you guys a Merry Christmas, since this episode will be airing just a couple days before Christmas. So why don't you go ahead and say hi, Bryce?
Yeah, how are you guys doing? I'm glad to be with you today.
My brother is the assistant rodeo coach at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and he is also a horseshoer by trade, and stomps a few broncs from time to time and ropes calves. And so he's pretty much a cowboy, even though he lives in Las Vegas. You wouldn't
urban
think
cowboy.
Urban.
Strictly. Whenever we brand calves at my house, it's an urban branding.
Oh.
Because there's usually only about 2 or 3 to do.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard that term before.
Yeah, well, I really like that movie, and I just feel like, John Travolta and I have a lot in common.
Although the movie did not take place in Las Vegas, but it could have. I mean, he lived in a trailer house, right? And not that you live in a trailer house, I'm not saying that, but you live on an acre in Las Vegas, and that's like a pretty good size spread for your neighborhood.
It's a ranch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's definitely a ranch, and that's why our brandings are urban brandings.
Which is actually kind of an inspiration, because, there's a lot of people who live in the city and would probably like to be able to have horses or, do some more cowboy stuff. And they probably feel like they're kind of trapped because, you can't. Obviously, ideally, it's nice to live on a big ranch in the middle of nowhere, but it doesn't mean that you can't get the job done, even if you live in Las Vegas on an acre. I mean, I know that we were very impressed with the setup you have there and your very efficient use of space.
Yeah, that's something that is pretty important when you have limited area to work with. But Vegas is a pretty suburban city. I mean, there's the strip with all the hustle and bustle, but there's a whole lot of people that might work down there, but they don't live there. So they live in that outlying areas where there's a lot more agriculture type activity that goes on, not to the extent that it would in a real ag part of the country, but we definitely have a lot of horses and cattle, and just that kind of stuff is pretty common down here. I don't suppose it's probably that way in every city, but
no,
I'm sure there are places like, small parts of most cities that definitely have that. It might be more of the Hispanic population a lot of times, but cultures that are, grow up with animals and know what they can provide their family and that sort of thing. I mean, they try and find a way to perpetuate that style, that lifestyle.
Yeah, even if they live in town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think probably most people wouldn't think about Las Vegas as being a real ag area, but I know there are a lot of people that have, there's a lot of horses in Las Vegas, and I don't know, there probably are in other cities too, and if you aren't around that lifestyle, you're probably just not aware of it.
Yeah, I'm sure that if you go down Richmond too. A lot of the really highly populated urban parts of Vegas, you know, somebody would think you were crazy to ask where, you know, if anybody has horses down there. But truth is, there might be a little pocket of properties that are within 2 miles of wherever that person lives that everybody has a horse in their backyard. So it's just, you just got to kind of know that that exists. And if you have an interest in it, then you got to try and seek it out. But but there's a lot of that in this town for sure, in this city.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's important for people to know, because it can be hard to, even if, you know, a lot of people, they grow up and maybe their grandparents have a ranch or they're around horses when they were young and they would like to get back into it as adults once they've kind of gone through school and have a career. And now they're in a place where they'd like to, you know, have a hobby that involves horses. And if they live somewhere, I mean, I live in Montana. There's a horse in every backyard here, but somewhere like Vegas, it's not so obvious. And, you know, people might not even know where to go to take a riding lesson or to kind of get involved in that lifestyle. So it's good for them to know that it's there.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, I think in most cities, you just got to seek it out. And there's, it might really seem strange that it is there, but if you kind of get in with the right people, then it doesn't seem strange to them.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's just their way of life. So, well, cool. How does it? I mean, I was just in Vegas for the NFR, so I know how I kind of feel about it because I live where it snows and stuff, but. Do you feel like it's Christmas when you're down there?
You know, a lot of people get in the spirit of it really well. Like, there, you see a lot of Christmas lights, and there's a lot of different activities geared towards it with some of the casinos put together, different kind of Santa Claus displays, and, you know, there's a lot of holiday activities you can get involved with, you can take your kids to or whatever. But so in that sense, yeah, but no, when it's, you know, 60 degrees outside
and sunny and beautiful
and sunny, you see the forecast for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and it's going to be, you know, 65 and sunny. And no, it doesn't really feel like Christmas in that sense.
But, yeah, that's what I thought too. Cause I mean, you had snow growing up, you know, in northern Nevada. We both did, obviously. I have more now in Montana than we did then. But it seemed like a lot of the time we had snow on Christmas. So that kind of made it feel more like Christmas.
Yeah, but even there, sometimes you don't. And I know
that's true.
We had years where it was 50 degrees and the arenas were all dry and we were riding horses on Christmas Day or whatever, and but even up there when it was like that way, I didn't think it felt as much like Christmas. You know, you just kind of have that thought in your mind of snowflakes and snowmen, and unless that's there, then no, it kind of feels like a part of it's missing for me. But
yeah,
but when we were lived up in northern Nevada, if there wasn't snow on Christmas, you knew it was going to be coming. It was just going to wait till April or something silly. But I mean, down here, I mean, once every 3 or 4 years, it'll snow in the valley and it won't be enough to have anything stick, but it'll be enough to where everyone goes, "Whoa, it's snowing. That's amazing."
It never snows here.
Right. Exactly. But usually that's in January. I mean, I can't remember when the last time was it snowed, but I know I had the camera out last time it did.
Well, it's pretty unusual actually for us to not have snow on Christmas up here, because a lot of times it snows in November and it stays until March or April.
Yeah.
We don't have, I mean, this year has been pretty nice. It's been much nicer than it was last year at this time. So it's actually really sunny and beautiful outside right now, but it is supposed to snow a couple inches every day this week. So pretty sure it'll be a white Christmas here anyway.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
So, you know, I kind of wanted to share some of our family Christmas stories with the listeners today, because a lot of people listened to the interview I did with Dad and they really liked it. And I'm sure, you know, they kind of felt like they got to know him a little bit in that hour long interview or however long it was. And so I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the entertaining things that have happened over the years in our family, especially on Christmas and especially involving our dear father.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot from your interview with him, just because he's the kind of guy that unless you ask him a very specific question, he's probably not going to give you a lot of extra information.
Right.
So there was quite a bit in your interview with him that I had no idea took place in his life.
And, yeah.
Which is pretty weird, you know, when he's your dad and he's 32 years old, which I am. But yeah, I mean, he's just a very interesting guy, and everybody who meets him has something interesting that they take from those conversations and meetings. And, you know, as you know, he can be a pretty funny guy. He can also be really serious and he can speak on a lot of different topics.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's one thing that is kind of unique about Dad, is that he's a cowboy, I mean, through and through, but he is very well educated and well read, and he can talk to you about more things than just horses. Granted, that's what he likes to talk about the most, but when you could have a conversation with him about a lot of different things. So.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, if I didn't watch the news every morning, then I'd have nothing to talk to him about. But he reads so many books, and he's just like, he knows something about everything that's going on. He'll give you an opinion. Usually it's a pretty well thought out opinion too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, growing up, Mom was always the one who sort of tried to build Christmas traditions in our family and make sure that, you know, we always had a really memorable holiday every year, because Mom loves Christmas and she loves baking and she loves preparing for it. And, you know, my birthday is in December and she would never put the tree up until after my birthday. And that was just, you know, her thing. Like, she did things the same way every year. She was always going to make certain kind of cookie. We had rules about, like, when we could open our presents, and, you know, we never open presents on Christmas Eve. It's always Christmas morning, we got to open our stockings, and then we could open one present, and then we had breakfast, and then we could open all the rest of our presents. And she had to make a rule, because when you were little, you wanted to get up at like 5 a.m. and open your presents. So she had to make a rule that we couldn't get up before like 7 or something, because Christmas would be over by 7 or 8 a.m. if you had your way.
Yeah, well, just kind of to go along with the buildup, you know, she would build it up really nicely for us. And then I was so excited. By the time it got there, I was ready to just get it done. Get on with it.
And, but then it was over so fast. If you, like, get up and open your presents, and it takes an hour, and then you're done. And then what do you even do the rest of the day?
Well, that's kind of what she was trying to prevent. But, but it was just hard, because I remember she would get us those little calendars with little chocolate in every day.
Oh, yeah, the advent calendars.
You would open the day and eat that chocolate, and just, you'd have to wait a whole another day before you could open up the next one and eat that chocolate.
That was really, really hard for you.
It was really hard for me, but I think, you know, Mom might have held on a little bit too long with that idea, because I'm pretty sure she got me one of those when I was like 14 or 15, and I'm pretty sure I only opened like 2 days, and then I just didn't want it anymore. But That's just the fun of Christmas when you're young. Mm-hmm. You get to have the build up and enjoy it.
Yeah. And eventually you figured out that the chocolate in those advent calendars was not that good.
Yeah, eventually. But, you know, there was a while there where it seemed like just the fact that you were having to wait a day to be able to open up the next one, you're getting one step closer to December 28th.
Well, what about those chains, those paper chains we used to make in school, and then you'd like cut one off each day? Did you ever do that? Do you remember until you got to Christmas?
I don't remember that one.
Well, and as much as Mom tried to make Christmas like this magical, special thing for us, Dad was always trying to sabotage it in some way. I don't know if it was always, I don't know if it was ever really intentional or if he was just kind of messing with her because she was trying to make things so perfect, or, you know, if he's just being Dad, it started this whole ongoing thing every year of, you know, accusing Dad of trying to ruin Christmas once we got older.
Yeah, I remember there being a lot of back and forth about the tree selection because we would, you know, Mom, like you said, Mom didn't really want to get everything set up before your birthday. And so it was kind of like she was trying to hold me off probably more than anybody. and as soon as your birthday was over, you know, I wanted to get that tree, but there's not a lot of time in between because yours is December 12th and then the 25th. So sometimes we would be scraping from kind of the bottom of the barrel when it came to the tree lots. Mm-hmm. And I don't really recall being super concerned over how the trees looked necessarily. I just would want to get one and let's get it back to the house and let's put those decorations on it. Let's put some presents under it, you know?
That's amazing.
And that was kind of my interpretation of going and getting the tree. But I remember there used to be a lot of back and forth about, you know, if it happened to be my year to pick the tree, it was usually, you know, a real big hole on one side of it, or it was too tall for the house, or it was, you know, oh, there's no branches on that side, or I just don't remember ever picking a tree that was like completely accepted by everyone as being a good choice. And I think maybe Dad was the one who actually started that because he had a lot of opinions about how the tree should look, but mm-hmm. he wasn't one that was going to go in there and pick one out or do any of the decorating or anything.
Right.
But he was certainly going to give you an opinion about how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think that's kind of where it started. With him ruining Christmas.
Well, how about when he, when for some reason they didn't get a tree until late, and I don't even know, you know, if we were in high school or when this happened, but remember when he brought a tree home from the bar one year?
I do remember something about that, yeah.
It was like, the lot ran out of trees or something, and they tried to get one and couldn't, and so he ended up somehow picking one up at the bar and bringing it home.
Well, hey, it's probably a good deal for the bar if it was like Christmas Eve and they could make another 20 off of selling their tree in there or something.
I don't think that's how he got it. I think it was like he bought it from somebody that was there or something.
Maybe they had like a special, you know, if you buy five keystones, you get a free tree. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard to say, but the funny thing is that you and I have tried for years, ever since we were old enough to start buying gifts for our parents, basically. We've been trying to get Dad something that he would like because he is like the hardest person to buy a gift for. He's a horse trainer and his whole life revolves around horses and he doesn't have any hobbies. His job is horses. His hobbies are all horses. And he pretty much has most things that he needs. I mean, you can buy him replacement items like a nice shirt or a pair of jeans, maybe a cinch or some splint boots. But he's pretty savvy to those things. So you know, he'll pick the box up and shake it and say, oh, it's a shirt, or, oh, socks. I mean, you just can't excite the guy very easily. And you know, understandably so with those types of items. So we've tried for years to get just a little, you know, manage to create a little bit of a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, I think it all, you know, for me, you know, it kind of all stems back from the root of just not feeling like we had done as good a job as we could have, you know, right with that tree, you know, the tree comment that I made earlier. if I would have ever felt like my dad just said, oh, son, that tree couldn't be a bit better. That's the best looking silver tip tree I have ever seen. You know, maybe from that point, I would have just had that feeling like, all right, I've done it. I've conquered Christmas. Mm-hmm. But I think he kind of left that carrot dangled out there in front of you like, oh, so that's the tree you picked? Well, pretty barren on that one side. And so that kind of perpetuated into the presents as well, because you would get the box shaking. You'd maybe get a little feeling around on it. He would, you know, he could look at the wrapping paper, and sometimes he could gather some information through that as well. But it kind of left me always with that feeling like to strive for more. Like I didn't surprise him this year.
Right.
You know, yes, I got him a new set of reins. Well, for him, eventually he would use those reins when another pair of reins broke, you know, or something. But it wasn't like he was going to say, oh, that's so nice. Let me go take this old set of reins. It's, you know, all rotted out, and I'm going to put this brand new set on there. He never gave you that feeling of accomplishment like you had earned that man's respect for that present. Mm-hmm. So it just left you always striving for more. You know, and I can think of some presents that I thought were just dead ringers. Like, man, I've really outdid myself this year. But I can't honestly say that I ever felt I got that response from him. So we're still trying. You know, I'm not one to give up easily. I know you're not either.
No, we're still seeking that.
Maybe this year.
That unicorn gift, if you will. Well, you did. I mean, you bought him like Giants tickets one year, and that went pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good trip. You know, it turned out being good and everything. I don't remember having that moment when he opened it up, you know, and just being knocked off his feet. You know, it's hard to sweep him off his feet.
Yeah. Well. I remember one year we thought we did a pretty bang up job, because you and I went in on a gift together and we bought him a pair of really nice ostrich boots at the NFR. You remember that?
I do remember that. They were nice.
Yeah.
But what we didn't take into account is that with a lot of his equipment, and boots are, you know, certainly a part of his equipment, he has to have a certain feel, a certain fit. Mm-hmm. And for our father, it's not as simple as saying, well, a man wears 9.5 size boots. He has to try them on first.
Right.
Because if they don't go on just right, you know, they're basically worthless to him. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
yeah.
That's the trap we fell into.
Yep. He got the boots. He really liked them. He tried to put them on and couldn't quite get them on his feet. But the fortunate thing for him was that very day, his buddy, Ed Murphy, came by the house, you know, spreading Christmas cheer. And he saw those boots and he said, wow, those are some nice boots. And Dad said, well, I don't exactly remember how it went down, but somehow Ed Murphy ended up giving Dad a check and leaving with those boots.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was maybe about half of what we paid for them. But
and then he said, he said he's like, well, what's the big deal? I'll go buy another pair of boots. Do you think he ever did?
Well, eventually I'm sure that he did, yeah, but kind of lost its Christmas feel. That's the moment that we gave him the boots, he tried them on, he said, they don't fit, and it wasn't but 2 hours later, they were out of the house, gone, in another person's possession.
So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not uncommon for our dad's Christmas gifts. I mean, that's why he's kind of pigeonholed himself into a position where he gets socks a lot. Mm-hmm. He gets shirts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are gifts that he will accept. Now, he may not be blown off his feet by receiving them, but you know darn well he won't sell those socks. He'll use them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had years where I've gone the safe route, like, oh, I'll just get him a couple Latigos. You know, those are always very useful to have. Or, you know, some splint boots or maybe a cinch, perhaps. I mean, don't go out and buy him like a fancy headstall or something. He's not going to be excited about that.
No, no.
So I do want to talk a little bit about what I consider to be the most, well, the most excited he maybe has ever been about a Christmas gift. And that was when I bought him ducks for Christmas.
That was an amazing gift, and he's still getting enjoyment out of that gift, and that was about 3 years ago, I think.
At least, yeah. I came up with the idea because you guys actually were reading in an article that these Muscovy ducks were good for around the barn because they eat flies, and I thought, oh, that's great. I just, you know, filed that one away and thought, you know what, I'm going to order Dad some ducks for Christmas and, you know, keep the fly population down because he's always trying to kill flies. And so I ordered them online from a duck farm in Pennsylvania, and they hatched, and I think shipped them out, overnighted them like that same day. And he went and picked them up at the post office, all 15 ducks. That was the minimum order on the ducks. And well, they provided him with a lot of enjoyment until the coyotes wiped out the majority of them. And fortunately, there was two drakes and one female left. And this summer, the female actually hatched some eggs. So now he's back up to, like, I think, 8 ducks.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a rebirth of that gift.
Resurgence. Yeah.
And hey. That's a big pat on the back to you, because we both know what's happened to other gifts over the years where you know, they got thrown in the back of the tack room, and a couple years later, when you or I was home, you said, oh, that was that saddle blanket I gave you about 3 years ago. Still in the plastic, huh? Oh, well, guess you didn't really like it.
And it's not, I don't think it's that he doesn't like it. It's just he hasn't had a use for it yet, because he's going to, I mean, the man still has items in his arsenal, and maybe not so many now as he did 10 years ago, but he still has stuff that he probably used when he lived in Montana in the 80s or maybe even the 70s. He's not a guy that just throws things away and, you know, and gets new things. He uses them until they just can't be used anymore.
Yeah, they can't just break like one piece, because he'll fix that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got to absolutely explode or shatter into oblivion before mm-hmm. he's going to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I've taken from that as well. I'm pretty much a pack when it comes to my tack and that kind of thing, because mm-hmm. I always think back to where Dad used to have like a little trunk full of broken leather pieces.
Yes. And
when you would have equipment malfunction, you would go to that trunk and you would find a replacement part. And yeah. I basically have that.
You do?
Because I learned it from him. I don't have a trunk, but I do have like a little cabinet thingy.
Oh my gosh.
I do save my broken piece of equipment because I do use them. I do find uses for them when another piece breaks.
I did not know that. It's
one
like
one of the main things.
It's like going to the junkyard to get like a rear view mirror for your 78 Pontiac or whatever. You just, you know, you need a Chicago screw, you go to the trunk. You need a little buckle or something, you go to the trunk.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why when you get him a new head stall, I mean, you might as well just throw it in the dang trunk. He's not going to use it until something else completely explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Or burns up. Or I mean, it would have to be totally gone to need a replacement.
Yeah. Well.
But, you know, with all that said, it's provided us a lot of, it's really given us a challenge over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's kept Christmas interesting because we've always had a lot of thought go into the gifts that we gave him, and we always were kind of on the edge of our seat while he was opening those gifts to see what the reaction might be.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that is one of Mom's rules over the years was that the reason that we had to wait till after breakfast to open our presents or whatever was because she wanted to be there when we open stuff. You know, she wanted to always see our reaction when we open stuff. And so Dad would kind of tease her a little bit about, oh, you know, you have to see their faces or whatever. And now with us, it's like we are just on the edge of our seats trying to see Dad's face when he opens our gifts.
Yeah. And, you know, he's one to provide a lot of different emotions over the years. Mm-hmm. Mostly he's just kind of accepted the gifts and kind of set them aside and grabbed the next one.
Well, one thing that always does go over well with him is books, because he is so bored on Christmas usually that he will sit in his chair and read a whole book on Christmas Day because he's just used to being working, you know, outside and working all the time. And on Christmas, he usually pretty much takes the day off, so he's got to have something to keep him occupied.
Yeah, books are definitely good, but he'll read, you know, a 400-page book on Christmas Day, and it may be a book that you or I got him, and we're kind of excited to hear if he enjoyed the book, and, you know, you're sitting there, he's been reading it the whole day, so you're kind of going cha-ching to yourself, like, hey, I got a good book for my dad. He's really into this thing. And then, you know, when it's all over, you say, well, what was that book? It wasn't very good. And you kind of look back at yourself. I go, oh, I really thought I got him a good book there. He read it all day. But turns out he was just kind of bored with everything else we were doing, so he just read that book that he didn't really like.
Oh, man. Yeah, and now it's this ongoing joke every single year because it just became like this funny thing. I mean, we laugh about it and we talk about how we're always trying to please him, but really, I mean, we're pretty lighthearted about it. It's just, we're very sarcastic in our family and it's fun. And we would tell Dad every year, Dad, you're ruining Christmas. And just, you know, whatever he happened to be doing at the moment. Oh, now look at you. You're ruining Christmas again. And so Dad has actually gotten in on the fun now. I mean, he seems like he's more into Christmas now than he used to be. I mean, he'll actually go out and buy gifts and kind of he's surprising sometimes. And a few years ago, I wasn't home with you guys for Christmas, and I'd sent Dad a nice pair of like elk hide slippers or something. And And I talked to him afterwards. He's like, oh yeah, those were really nice. He goes, but Bryce put them on and wore them all day and I didn't even get to wear them and he's ruining Christmas.
Yeah. So the moral of that is that we've all had a part to play in ruining Christmas over the years.
Yes. Yep. And now, like this year, we're all going to be together, which will be awesome. And your little girl is a year old, so maybe she'll kind of start figuring this Christmas thing out. At least, you know, if not this year, definitely next year. So she's going to be indoctrinated into the Barnes family Christmas herself.
She is. I'm pretty sure she's going to be very into all the wrapping paper.
Yeah.
The ribbon and everything.
Once but her presents. Kinda,
yeah, I don't suppose she'll really be that concerned about what's in the boxes, but I think she'll get into unwrapping them for sure.
Yeah. So. Well, that'll be fun. I'm sure that she will have many, many presents under the tree. I'm
pretty sure her grandpa will even get her some special gifts. He, you know how he loves the dollar store?
Yes.
And he's never had a... I guess this will be the first time he's been able to purchase things for a baby at the dollar store. And I'm sure there's got to be endless opportunities for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. He can be rather surprising sometimes when he really gets into the Christmas spirit. And I mean, last year he went out and bought those chinks for Blair, which were really cute. He did that all on his own. So
yep.
He has his moments for sure.
Oh yeah. Now, and I think it's a good mix because we've got such a challenge trying to come up with something for him that we're going to feel like he really likes or really appreciates and is going to get some use out of or whatever. But on the other side, we know we could wrap up a rock and give it to our mom and she'd be so happy that we We were just so thoughtful that we found that rock and we put it in a box and wrapped it up. I mean, we're pretty fortunate that we've got one that's a big challenge and we got one that is just going to be so happy no matter what, that it's nice to know you got that ace in the hole over there that, you know, if you don't come up with what you consider to be the best gift ever, she's going to love it. She's going to give you all of that emotion and be very thankful for whatever it is you get her.
Yeah,
and then, you know, you take your chances with dad. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a good combo.
It is. You know, they balance each other out well in that way. Mom is the Christmas queen and dad's kind of can be a little grinchy at times, but, you know, we get both sides of the coin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, well, that's awesome. Do you have any other memories that you would like to share on this very special holiday edition of the Earn Your Spurs podcast? Or you feel like you got it all out?
I feel like we've given a nice little window into what our Christmas is probably going to be like. I don't know if... I think it'll be fun for Kyle to actually be a part of the Barnes specific Christmas because last year was kind of different for everybody being all in Montana and with our extended family, which we really have never done since we were really little, which was great. And it was a whole nother element to it. But and now when we're kind of being in our mom and dad's wheelhouse, be good for Kyle to experience that too.
Yeah, it'll be a whole new experience for him. He'll get a big dose of Barnes humor and sarcasm and Jessica and I drinking wine and beating you guys unmercifully at Cranium. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that. Well, I'm hoping for better results with Kyle than I've had with my previous partners.
Well, I wish you both well, but, you know, Jessica and I are kind of awesome at it.
That may be true, but I'm not ready to just give in at this point. I still think I might have a few tricks up my sleeve now that I've got Kyle's support.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. When this airs, Christmas is just going to be a couple days away. So we'll see how it goes. And, you know, I'll report back afterwards, let everybody know if there was any major things that went down that need to be shared.
Yeah, hopefully nothing, you know, too crazy, I guess.
Maybe we'll get a little riding in or roping or something if it's nice. That would be kind of fun.
I just hope that no one gets injured by the Christmas tree this year.
Yeah, that was a bad deal. Yeah. Mom went out and bought an artificial tree. And at the time, I think you and I were pretty against it. I mean, we always had a real tree and we didn't really want to go the fake tree route. Although I'm coming around to it now, but I don't think we were super excited about it when she went out and bought that tree.
I think maybe the main reason is that I don't feel like she really asked for our opinion about it. She just went and got the tree and kind of said, here you go. We now have a tree and we're going to have the same tree for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so much had went into us going to the lots and trying to...
Hey guys, sorry, had a little bit of an equipment malfunction there, and for some reason my recorder did not catch the rest of the recording with my brother, but we are about to wrap it up anyway, and I just wanted to say have a very Merry Christmas, enjoy spending time with your families, I hope you found some humor in some of the stories that Bryce and I shared about our family Christmases. I know we're really excited to spend the holiday together, and I hope all of you have a wonderful time with your families, and I'm not quite sure if there's going to be an episode next week yet or not, but either way, I will definitely catch up with you again after the new year, and look forward to a great year in 2015. Thank you so much for being here and listening. I really, really appreciate you all, and again, just have a wonderful Christmas.
For listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.